So this is Counting Crows, a band which I loved back in the 90s. Turns out they were in Boston on Sunday night, but not headlining a major concert series or anything. They were crooning to the crowd at a conference thrown by EMC, a Fortune 500 data storage company based in Hopkinton. Okay, so the Counting Crows show tells you two things. One, they played Mr. Jones, a song that debuted back in 1993. I mean, didn't they have something more recent? And two, EMC was not being ironic in getting a 90s band. They probably thought they were being very hip. But would the same happen in Silicon Valley? Would the inventor of the iPad share the stage with something that screams so 15 years ago? No. In fact, Apple put the much hipper band Cake on stage last year at its developers conference. You might all think this is all very superficial, but it actually speaks to a problem the Boston area has in promoting itself as an edgy entrepreneurial tech hub. Business Week just ranked tech-rich Cambridge as the sixth best city in the country for tech startups. That's right, sixth. We were beaten by five other cities, including Boca Raton, Florida, which just baffles me. But anyway, joining me to figure out what is going wrong here are two local experts who have their fingers on the tech pulse. Kel Kelly is CEO and president of Kel & Partners, a Web 2.0 marketing and public relations agency. Kel Kelly, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Scott Kirsner. He is the innovation economy columnist at the Boston Globe. Scott, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, so first things first, Kel, this Business Week ranking sixth, were you surprised at all that it was that low?
Not surprised. Unfortunately, I think perception appears to be trumping reality when it comes to our tech brand image. And there's stuff going on, but boy, when you say Boston tech, people do not think, I believe your words were hip, edgy, and, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Like Lady Gaga would have been good for EMC. And I love them because I live in Hopkinton and they do a lot of nice things. So nothing to slam them, but yeah, no. We've got a big problem when it comes to perception.
You've written about this quite a bit on your blog.
And a bit.
One thing which I thought was really interesting is you said it's not just perception, because perception is kind of backed by reality. There are actually people here who, they're the suits. They're not the black turtlenecks, blue jeans, and bare feet crowd that we find over on the other coast.
It's true. I would like to say Scott's looking mighty hip right now. Have you seen his fitted shirt and his black pants? He represents what we need to be.
I've got a stylist now, Kel.
Yeah.
Do you see this? I mean, Scott, do you see a similar problem here, that it's perception versus reality, that this is a good place to start a company, but people don't think so?
I think it is. I mean, what Boston does exceptionally well, what Boston and Cambridge do really well, is we take this nascent technology that's developed in an MIT lab or a Boston College lab or one of the great schools around here, and we commercialize it and get it out of the lab and turn it into a product, whether that's a new drug or whether it's a new lithium-ion battery like A123 Systems makes. They were the biggest, most successful IPO of 2009, was a Massachusetts company. Or as the governor was just talking about, all kinds of clean tech and energy-related innovation. So we're really good at that. It's just people don't, we don't have that Steve Jobs gene of marketing it along the way and making great commercials and having, keynote addresses that the whole world pays attention to.
Well, and it's not just marketing, I wonder, because, if so much innovation is happening within the confines of a university lab and some of it's actually spinning off into products, it's not necessarily spinning off into this whole variety of tech startups. And the one thing about the Business Week article that I thought was really interesting is that they said Boulder, Colorado is number one for places for tech startups, in part because they have a real groundswell of entrepreneurs there who want to encourage each other. I mean, they have this thing called TechStars. It's a business boot camp for startups where they actually bring people over into a 90-day intensive program and say, here's how you make a business.
Started by an MIT alum, incidentally, Brad Feld, who's now out there in Boulder.
Which screams to the problem. But it's interesting because if you think of the brand, just as consumers and human beings, Boulder is the antithesis of the Boston image. They are relaxed, they are laid back, they don't take themselves too seriously. I mean, I think when people think of the Boston brand, they think of stodgy, elitist, I hate to say it, but good old boy network that emerged, through the success of Wang and Deck and some of those things, and then perhaps through the telecom era. And it's just a completely different vibe, is probably the best word, than you would see in Boulder or you would see in Silicon Valley.
So, Scott, how would you change that vibe?
you know, part of it is younger entrepreneurs being really successful and you know, them taking the reins and changing the culture. I mean, two examples I would cite, one is iRobot Corporation. You know, they make the Roomba robotic vacuum cleaner. They have a really young CEO, Colin Angle. You know, who is, you know, who is a very different kind of guy, doesn't often wear suits, you know, really loose, fun guy, throws these all kinds of crazy parties at House of Blues for other CEOs. Another example are the two guys who started Harmonix. They make Guitar Hero and Rock Band, these video games. So I really think it's going to be a new generation of CEOs coming up that are going to kind of remake the culture and maybe make Boston, you know, dare I say, a sexier tech hub.
Whoop, whoop.
Say it.
Scott, actually, I mean, you'd also mentioned that an MIT grad went out to Boulder and helped start this, like, sort of groundswell of entrepreneurial activity there. That also made me wonder about, you know, I'd mentioned earlier in the show that there's a lot of VC, there's a lot of venture capital money here, but it's not always invested here.
Yeah, you know, one of the big VCs on Newbury Street, Spark Capital, is invested in Twitter, you know, a San Francisco company that's exceptionally hot. So, you know, one of the issues is we have a lot of money here waiting to be invested, but those investors are increasingly agnostic about where the money goes, if it goes to New York or if it goes to Boulder or if it goes to Austin, Texas.
Kel, shouldn't, I mean, Boston in a way actually be proud of its history? I mean, somehow use it as, you know, polish it a little, give it a little edge?
I mean, history is okay, but everything needs to evolve, especially when you're talking about technology. I think people just look for, you know, fresh, hip ideas. Spark is the perfect personification of the brand that we need in Boston because they see the idea. I think historically speaking, and this is the perception, so the callers don't come in and yell at me, but the perception is that Boston venture capitalists, it's part of that network of they see more of a person and who can run it versus the idea itself, which is why so many entrepreneurs leave MIT, leave Harvard, and head west, yeah. My son, because they can't get it funded.
I was going to say, you have a little bit of the Babe Ruth curse in Boston that we always look back at. So, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, we lost him to the Yankees. The two big companies that kind of are still cast these shadows over Boston technology are Microsoft, you know, founded by Paul Allen and Bill Gates, who were both in Boston hanging around Cambridge when they got the idea that the PC was going to create this big business opportunity. And more recently, Facebook, which, you know, as I wrote about, you know, pitched at least one Boston VC firm that thought, no way are we going to let a Harvard sophomore run this company. You know, let's bring in an adult CEO. And Facebook's founder didn't like that idea.
And left, yeah.
And left for Palo Alto, yeah.
So obviously there are, I mean, it's Harmonix and iRobot and the few that we do know that are standouts in terms of perception. They aren't the only successful businesses here in the Boston area. So let's talk about a couple hot companies, actually, both of you like. Kel, what's your pick?
My pick is Swaptree. I mean, if you think of a great internet edgy brand, you think of a brand that becomes synonymous with a category. So think of like eBay and online auctions. And what Swaptree does is they're essentially the eBay of swap. So consumers will go on the site with their books, with their video games, with their music, and with their movies, and say, my 8-year-old's a swap addict on this thing, okay? He'll go on with his Dumb and Dumber video and say, you know, geez, I want the Nutty Professor, and he'll actually find someone and do the swap. And the monetization just comes through paying for the label. So you're helping the planet, you're saving money, you're having a lot of fun, and I think they are going to become synonymous in the same way that eBay did.
Scott, your pick?
I think my pick for like a change the world kind of company is this startup in Watertown called Ytricity. It's an MIT spin out. The technical founder won a MacArthur Genius Fellowship a couple years ago. And their idea is just like you go into a Starbucks today and you expect that there's going to be wireless internet access. They want there to be wireless electricity so that you're not, you know, sitting at the Starbucks looking for a plug for your laptop or to recharge your cell phone, or you're at the airport and somehow they've eliminated all plugs from the passenger terminal. So these guys have wireless electricity broadcasters that can send electricity 5 or 10 feet.
And actually, it's potentially even for more things than just your cell phone or your TV or your radio. I actually understand that Ytricity is really working on their technology for electric cars. We actually have a clip of Ytricity CEO Eric Guiler. He goes on to describe this in a little more detail.
These electric cars are beautiful, but who is going to want to plug them in? Imagine driving into your garage. We've built a system to do this. You drive into your garage, and the car charges itself because there's a mat on the floor that's plugged into the wall, and it actually causes your car to charge safely and efficiently.
So that's Y-tricity CEO Eric Guiler talking about how walls could be pulsing electricity to cars in the future.
And poses no danger, they tell me, to human beings who might be hanging out in the garage, you know, doing woodwork.
Technology still under development, of course. But we just got a couple seconds to go here. I just want to wrap up with the big question that we started with, because I'm not sure I hear the answer yet. Kel, and that is, you know, what would it take to put Cambridge toe-to-toe with Cupertino, California?
Put away your suits, vote them off the island, get rid of PowerPoint, grab Keynote, get rid of your dark wood offices, see the human being, not whether they went to the school you went to or whatever, and just open your mind. You'll find it refreshing.
Scott?
I think it's all about a cultural revolution and, you know, younger entrepreneurs taking over Boston and saying, you know, it's not about the old school companies anymore.
That's Scott Kirsner. He's innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe and author of Fans, Friends, and Followers, Building an Audience and a Creative Career in the Digital Age. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Kel Kelly, CEO of President and President of Kel & Partners, a Web 2.0 marketing and public relations agency. Kel, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, listeners, stay with us because after the break, a third of Boston teens say they've seen MBTA transit police hurl racial insults at young people. We'll talk with the Jamaica Plain Group behind a new survey, and we'll see what Transit Police Chief Paul McMillan thinks of the findings. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.